is, oh no, Tehillim, sorry. Tehillim. Yesterday, of course, was Yom Yerushalayim, 52 years since the reunification of Yerushalayim and the capture of our Mekomos HaKadoshim, Chevron, Shechem, even though I don't know if anyone here has been there. Unfortunately, still not safe places to go, but Ma'aros HaMechpela and Chevron, where of course there's Jewish presence, Ma'aros HaMechpela, the Kever Rachel, of course, Yerushalayim, and this is a dream that previous generations could only have dreamed. Maybe by their wildest imaginations, they probably could not imagine that such a thing would happen in their lifetime. And in our day and in our time, we are very much zocha to this tremendous gift. The downside there is that sometimes we take such a gift for granted. We become so used to the gift of modern-day Eretz Yisrael and the gift of being able to go to Yerushalayim that we unfortunately take for granted. I heard of Shai Schechter saying a shir that, you know, we take it so for granted. He says, you go to the Kotel, people are taking selfies, people are having idle conversation, and people are throwing their water bottles on the ground. He said, go back three generations and tell people in Galus that there would be such a thing, there would be such a reverence and such an awe and such a pachad and such an overwhelming sense of gratitude. And he said, today we're littering, we're talking, we're mingling. He says, we have to appreciate where we are, and just because we have it, not to lose sight of what we had. He quoted one Rav who lived in Yerushalayim, I think it was the Adaras, but I don't remember exactly who it was. He said, and the Shir lived in Yerushalayim and he would not go to the Kotel. Why? He said he was afraid if he went to the Kotel, he would actually faint. He was afraid that there was such a reverence for the spot. He had such a tremendous awe of what that place represented that he would faint. On the other hand, they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a question. If someone lives in Yerushalayim and he hasn't been to the Kotel in 30 days, does he have to tear Kriya? Because a person who doesn't see the Kotel, the Makom HaMikdash B'Churbana, in 30 days has to tear Kriya. The question is, if someone lives in Yerushalayim and they have not seen it for 30 days, do they have to tear Kriya? So Rav Shlomo Zalman's answer was, how could it be that someone lives in Yerushalayim and he hasn't gone there for 3 days? What kind of shah is this? I understand if you live in the Galil. So it's taka, it's difficult to go. You have work, the kids have school. If you're a farmer, you live on the kibbutz. Whatever you do up there, it's not so easy. Shlomo Zalman said it's possible that someone lives in this city, where Harabayit Biadeinu, and they don't go in 30 days. What kind of question is this? Interestingly, because we're going, I asked Rav Shai Schechter to please remind me of the halachos of tearing kriya upon seeing Makom HaMikdash B'Churbana, because it was discussed on my Israel trip in November 2016 when I went with the Young Israel of Woodmere, but I have not been since and I do not remember. So it's funny because this is a question. One of my boys who has never been to Eretz Yisrael said, we have to tear kriya. Why do we have to tear kriya? It's not korban anymore, which is exactly how what some people feel. Of course, this is not complete redemption, and our habayis itself, even though it might be on paper in our hands, it's a difficult matzav. I don't know if you saw yesterday on the day of Yom Yerushalayim, 260,000 Muslims attended and worshipped on Temple Mount, ascended and attended on Temple Mount. They were throwing chairs and shoes and bottles at the soldiers up on top of her bayis. The riots were very extreme yesterday. So, and I don't know if anybody saw, it was almost not even reported, even in the Jewish news, it was almost not reported. There was a stabbing attack in the old city. Was it Friday morning? Yes, Friday morning. There was a stabbing attack in the old city. A 50-year-old man who was brought to the hospital with stab wounds all over his body, his head, his face, his torso, his back, in very serious condition. And a 16-year-old boy, also, it was around 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning. The sun has already risen. It's broad daylight. And in the article that I saw on Arut Sheva, you could actually watch the video, because I guess surveillance cameras. It happened so fast, you don't realize. It doesn't even, if you watch the video, see, the terrorist is 19 years old, and the 16-year-old was on a bike. He was wearing a black jacket and his white shirt, and it looks like he punches him almost. Like, it's so fast, I can't describe how fast the stabbing is. And the boy himself said he thought that at first he was just punched in the back till he took off his jacket and he saw blood and he realized, whereas the 50-year-old was in much more serious condition. The terrorist has been shot, but it's important for us to remember that there has been tremendous nisim and unbelievable miracles, It's clearly not a total redemption. I saw that Miriam Full just visited yesterday. There was some house in the old city that was purchased and bought in name of her husband, Ari Full, Zichrono Levracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. So when we talk about the ultimate redemption, you know, maybe we should take out the brachos in Shemona Esrei, v'shalayim yircha barachamim tashuv. Maybe we shouldn't say that anymore. Clearly we don't have it all. It's very interesting because there's a pasuk in, I know I didn't say this, Yilmia. There's a pasuk in last week's parasha in Bechukot, and the pasuk says, in pasuk mem aleph, mem or mem aleph, the pasuk says, after all the calls, after all the curses, v'hisvadu avonam v'es avon avosam, they will confess for the sins and the sins of their fathers, asher ma'altam bi, that they rebelled against me. And then the pasuk says, mem aleph, v'heveisi osam al eretz oyveihem, I will bring them to the land of their enemy. Oh, az yikana levavam ha'arau. Maybe then their haughty hearts will be humbled. And then it says, v'zacharti esprisi Yaakov, v'af esprisi Yitzchak, v'af esprisi Avram Iskar, v'artitzkar. There's a sequence here of three pesukim. Pasuk mem, it's in Parakha Vav of Vayikra, says the people will confess their sins. Pasuk Mem Aleph says, I will bring them to the land of the enemy and walk with them bekeri, casually. Pasuk Mem Bei says, I will remember the covenant with the patriarchs, I remember the land. So the Ramban and other commentators say this sequence does not make any sense. You understand what I just told you? We will confess our sins. God says, you're confessing, I'm going to bring you to the land of your enemies. And then God says, I will remember the patriarchs and land. Which pasuk is out of order? Where?
The middle one's
out of order. Yeah. We'll confess, and then we should immediately go to Pasuk Mem Beis. I remember the covenant with Yaakov and with Yitzchak and the covenant with Abram, and I will remember the land. You know, when I was little, I used to watch Sesame Street. They put four monsters on the screen, and they ask you which of these things does not belong. So the commentators say, this Pasuk does not make sense. After we confess, says the Ramban, Nachmanides, after we confess, Hashem says, I'm going to bring them to the land of their enemies. It's not the right place for it. So the Ramban has an unbelievably piercing comment. And I think it's very prophetic and profound for our day and age. What does it mean? Ve'vesi osam be'eretz oyveihem. Oh, az yikana levavam ha'arel. The Ramban says this is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. But we will still have to deal with tsarim va'oyvim bo. Enemies and adversaries in the land. We will not have total dominion over our land. And because we won't have total dominion over our land, then we'll have to deal with the enemies. He uses a double lashon and adversaries who live there. It will be considered Eretz Oyvim. You could go look up the Ramban. It's Beferish in the Ramban. And it's very relevant to our matzav today. Because we do have Eretz Yisrael, and we do have Yerushalayim, and it's something that my grandparents, and they're going through a Gehenim, maybe worse than a Gehenim, could not have imagined that there would be such a thing. My grandfather said, when we lived in Israel in the 1990-1991 school year, my grandfather, Simcha Aryeh ben Yosef Tzvi, Alav Hashem, came on Shavuos. My grandmother had been Nefteres that Rosh Hashanah, and we went to Birkas Kohanim at the Kotel. My grandfather was a very young child in World War I, and by the time World War II came, he was already married with three children, Golda, Ita, and Leah, Hashem Yikom Damam, and his first wife. And he survived both World Wars. His family was decimated during the Shoah. And we stood by the top, the stairs where you look down to the Kotel, and he said, in Yiddish, who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? Now, it's an unbelievable bracha that we cannot take for granted. It's not, a kotel is not a place for socializing and selfies and throwing our water bottles on the floor. On the other hand, it's not the full redemption. So the Ramban says, and please go look it up. What's this pasuk doing here? We just confessed. Isaiah is here. The Ramban says, we'll be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, but we will still have to deal with the tsarim v'ayvim, the enemies who live there, and therefore we will still have a partial galus. So while we give thanks, tremendous shabbach v'hoda for the gift of Eretz Yisrael and Yom Yerushalayim, we still daven for the ultimate Yeshua and the those injured in the Friday stabbing attack should just have refuah shleima soch shar chalei. So with that, I did not forget that I need to say to him. Shir hamalas mi ma'amakim karasicha Adonai. Adonai Shema Vekoli, Tiyana Aznecha Kashuvos, the Kotachanunai. Im Avonos Tishmaria Adonai Mi Amor. Ki Imcha Hasalicha Lamanti Vare. Ki Visi Adonai Kivsan Nafshi Vilidvaro Hachalti. Nafshi Adonai Mishomim Laboker, Shomim Laboker. Yachal Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbei mofidus v'hu yifta es Yisrael mikol avanosav ez eschos refuah shalem for Moshe Alchanan ben Rachel Leia Yechaska Halevi ben Sima Leia Chaim David ben Chana Zelda Yoel Baruch ben Chana Mirim Yaakov Avram ben Micha Yitzchak ben Genesia Yisrael Alter ben Chava Chana, Leia Bas Rivka, Sophie Bas Leia, Chaya Bracha Bas Devorah Sarah, Arla Adventsiam Ben Chaya, Yosifa Ba Chaya Leia, Reza Miriam Bas Fega Basok Sha'ar, Chole Yisrael. The reason I ran here, this is just being a recorder, but my point was, and I got sidetracked, it's good to get sidetracked about Yerushalayim, my point was, so I asked Rav Shai Schechter to please remind me who has to, how I get into that, because my son said, one of the 13-year-olds, why do we have to tear Kriya? So the answer that I gave you, a little bit lengthier, is the answer that I gave him. So Rav Shai Schechter replied, everyone needs to tear Kriya. Not like that one person in the family tears Kriya on behalf of everybody else. Remember we said, if you haven't seen Yerushalayim B'churbana, in 30 days, you have to tear kriya. If somebody lives in Yerushalayim themselves, so then they should be so zocha, and they deal with that then. For those of us who do not live in Yerushalayim, and you did not see Yerushalayim b'churban in 30 days, what do you need to do? Everyone needs to tear kriya. 4 points, he wrote them. 1, 2, 3, 4. One. Ready? We assume it is of the same severity as one who lost a parent, and therefore you tear kriya on the side of your heart to show how painful it is. I'm quoting from Shai Shechter. Two, you rip at least one tefach down the shirt. Three, you say a pasuk from Yeshayahu HaNavi, Beis Kodshenu V'Tifartenu, our holy house of glory, Asher Hilelucha Avosenu, that our forefathers lauded and praised, Hayal L'Sreifas Eish, has been burned by fire, V'Chol Machmadenu Hayal L'Charba, and all of our precious gems or jewels have been destroyed. And four, interesting, the Mishnah Brura quotes the minhag that one is not supposed to eat meat for the entire duration of the day that they rip kriya until the next halachic day. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. We're going, Be'ezras Hashem, we arrive Sunday night, and on Monday we're doing the Old City. We have Ir David excavations and the Kotel tunnel tours, which means we're going to be davening mincha Be'ezras Hashem by the Kotel. So we're tearing kriya Monday, which means for my men that we're going for pizza Monday for supper. So I told them if Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, then you could have fleishiks that day. I'm just going to repeat them. Halachati. And again, I don't say anything halachic on my own ever. I'm quoting Rav Shai Schechter. If you have a different mahalach, I'm just telling you what the halach is. I'm repeating, and then we're going to move on. Everyone needs to tear kriya, halachically. Quan, we assume it is of the same severity. If anyone's going to her to show upcoming, this is relevant. The same severity as one who lost a parent, and therefore you tear kriya on the side of your heart to show how painful it is. Two, you rip at least one tefach down the shirt. Three, I'm not going to translate the pasuk because I translated it the first time. Beis kodshenu v'tifartenu asher hilelucha avosenu haya l'sreifas eish v'chomach medenu haya l'charba. Four, the Mishnah Brura, which is the Chavetz Chaim, quotes the minhag that one is not supposed to eat meat for the entire duration of the day they tear kriya until the next halachic day. So there are strict halachas about this, and it's not stam that when we go to Yerushalayim, we don't only rejoice, which we do, but we do have to remember that there is still a tremendous element of mourning, and you can still say today, Rabbi Akiva was walking with his colleagues, Makos Chaf Dalet Beis, and so the whole Maseches Makos ends, and he's walking with his colleagues, and you all know this very famous piece of Gemara, and they see Har Habayis, and they're crying, Vaya Rabbi Akiva Mitzache. But what do they see? They see Shu'alim Hilchubo, and we say the same thing in Eicha. They see foxes prowling there. And they say the place where it says, Hazar Yikarev Yamus, the place where the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, that a stranger who enters will die, if it's not a Kohen, in other words, I shouldn't say that, I should say if it's not the Kohen Gadol, Bizman, then he will die. And now, Shu'alam Hilchubo, the low Nivka, foxes are mamish walking there, and we should not cry. So Rabbi Akiva famously said, that's why I'm laughing. If I see the prophecy of destruction with my own eyes coming true, Rabbi Akiva was martyred, Kodesh Hashem by the Romans, he lived at the time of the Churban. He says, if I see the prophecy of Churban, if I see Yerushalayim b'Churbana, Tzion Sadeh Seichareish, Zion is plowed like a field coming true, then I am certain that the prophecy of redemption, Od Yesh, Wuzikain, Wuzikain, Wuzbrichol, Wuzair, Vish, Mishanto, Biyado, wow. Yeladim v'yeladot m'sachakim, Rabbi Akiva said, I'm sure that the prophecy of redemption will also come true. So, Akiva nechamtanu, Akiva nechamtanu. So, we're partway there. There is Yish Mishanto Biyado, and there is Yeladim v'yeladot m'sachakim v'chovos ha'ir. Unfortunately, there is still a tremendous amount of pain for many of our brethren. We're trying to arrange a tour, I don't know what to call it, of Har Herzl. Many tour guides do it. There is, I would like to go to the Quorum of the Parrots Boys, Max Steinberg, other lone soldiers. Famous story, they asked Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, they wanted to go up north, I'm sure you know this, to daven by the Kavaram of the Tzaddikim. So he said, why do you have to go up north? There's a mountain right here full of Kedoshim where you can go daven. So while we have seen Yeladim, well, we do see Yeladim Vialdos Mesachim, I don't know if anybody saw yesterday, I watched two short video clips, black and white clips of the liberation of the old city. Yes. If anybody wants them, you could WhatsApp me and I'll be happy to forward them to you, of the troops mamish entering the gates and running to the Kotel, and of course the declaration Arbai Biadina. I'm sure some of you have watched it as well, and they're davening and crying by the Kotel. Manomar manadaber. And on the other hand, we still tear Kriya. And we still tear Kriya, and we still wait for the day when we will not have the pain, and we will not have Shualim Hilchabam, and 16-year-old boys can ride their bikes in the old city without being stabbed in the back on their way home from yeshiva. So, Azos Hashem, we keep davening until the ultimate redemption. It should be very immediately and very soon in our days. Amen. Yes.
I spoke with my daughter. She said, she went to Yerushalayim, she said, it's phenomenal. I've been there. They have two different streets. The men walk in one street, the women the other street, and then they go through different gates and they meet at the Kotel. It's so inspiring.
It's unbelievable. It's really.
You don't even have to walk. You're being carried by the hordes of people.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehi Abed V'Ayin.
Amen.
The passage that you said. Oh. Thank you to the anonymous water people. Yes.
Is that from Eicha?
I can't hear you.
Is it from Eicha, that passage that you said?
The foxes walk there?
No.
Oh, from Yeshayahu Navi. If anybody wants those four halachos from Rashi Shechter, just text me or email me and I'll send them to you. If you're interested in exactly what he wrote and you didn't catch it, so I'll just send it to you, okay? Anything else? Okay, what I want to talk about now is, I'm boiling, that's what I want to talk about now, and it's actually cool outside. Is anyone cold?
No.
Okay. That's not just me that's hot. It's very, the heat must be on. Okay, let's go. Okay, so what I want to do today is not Parsha, it's Parshas Bamidbar, but I do want to, I thought we would, between Yom Yerushalayim part and Shavuos, we're coming up to Shavuos, so what I want to talk about is the Torah reading for Shavuos. So the Torah reading from Shavuos is in Parshas Yisro, very obvious place, and it spans from Perek Yod Tes through Perek Chof. Perek Yod Tes. Are you okay if the window's open?
The air conditioning just is on.
I'm sorry, I'm boiling. I just need some air. Okay, so Parak Yud Tesh through Pasuk Chav of Parshas Yisro, which Parshas Yisro is Parak Yud Ches, Yud Tesh, and Chav. Parak Yud Ches is Yisro, who comes to the Israelite encampment, and he sees that Moshe doesn't have judges, and he tells him it's not good what you're doing, appoint judges. That's Parak Yud Ches. Parak Yud Tesh is a preparation for Matan Torah, and Parak Chav is Matan Torah itself. So, V'chodesh HaShlishi, that says, Ayos of Parachumash, I could be reading from the Chumash, I could be reading from the Machzor, it's the same thing. V'chodesh HaShlishi, it was on the third month, the Torah counts the months from Nisan, so we're talking about, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, okay? So we're talking about V'chodesh HaShlishi, which is tomorrow. Let's say, B'nei Yisrael Me'er Tzitzayim, from when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, B'yom Hazeh, Bo Mibar Sinai, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. They journey. I'm in Parak Yud Tesh of Shmos. They journey from Rafidim and they come to Midbar Sinai. They camped in the desert. It's very famous words, of course. It was made into a song. I'm sure that you all know what Rashi says. It should say, Vayachanu Sham Ha'am. They, we're talking about like 2.5 million people, because we have to remember, and I've said this before, that when the count is 600,000, that's the men between the ages of 20 to 60. So you have everyone over 60, everyone under 20. Levi's in their own count, the whole Shevet Levi, and woman. So we're not talking about 600,000. We're talking about 2 million. Okay. So it should say, Vayachanu Sham Yisrael Neged Har. They, in the plural, camped opposite the mountain. So Rashi says so famously, Ki ish echad b'lev echad, like one man with one heart. And Rashi continues and says, Aval sha'ar kol hachanios b'sar umos uvamachlokas. All the other encampments were with arguments and complaints. So people don't remember so much the second part of Rashi. We just always say, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har, Kish Echa B'lei V'achad. Israel camped opposite the mountain like one man with one heart. But we have to know that Rashi continues and says all the other encampments, unfortunately, were with complaints and with strife, with arguments. So it really teaches us, and something that we all know and we pay lip service to, but it reminds us that in order to prepare for Torah, we have to have Achdus. If we lack Achdus from the word Echad, which means one, if we lack oneness and we lack unity, then we are not worthy for the acceptance of Torah. And it's something that unfortunately sometimes evades and eludes our people, that it seems to be very hard for us to strive for a sense of unity. Very, very difficult, but that's the only condition. It's the first thing we know about the Israelites and their behavior is that they camped with Achdus. Therefore, they were worthy. Moshe Allah El Halokim. Moshe went up to God. And God called him from the mountain. Kosomer the Beis Yaakov. V'sageid the Bnei Yisrael. I always thought it was V'tagid. It's V'tagid. Interesting. I just saw that. It's not Sagid the Bnei Yisrael. It's Tagid.
What? It means it will be told.
No, I'm just saying that I didn't realize in the kudos. It's translated as tell to the sons of Israel. Okay? So you should say to the Beit Yaakov, the house of Israel, and you should tell the sons of Israel, the house of Yaakov and the sons of Israel. So famously, Rashi says there, Kosomar, the Beis Yaakov, everybody knows this Rashi. What does Rashi say?
The women first.
The women. We actually mentioned it a few weeks ago. Elu hanashim tomar lahem b'lashon raka. These are the women you should say with a gentle language. V'tagid l'bnei Yisrael. The punishments and the fine details you should tell the males with a harsh language. So when it came to Matan Torah, what we have to remember is that the women were the first instruction of Hashem to Moshe concerns the transmission of Torah to the woman, which is why many girls' schools are called Beis Yaakov. It's based on this pasuk right here, the instruction to the woman. You have seen what I did to Egypt, and I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to me. And now if you listen to my voice, and you keep my covenant, you will be for me a treasure from all the people. Ki li kol ha'aretz, because the whole world is mine. Va'atem to you, li mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, you should be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you should speak through the children of Israel. So, one second, please. So, These are the words you speak to the children. It's very beautiful. This is the introduction to Matan Torah. And Hashem says, I carried you on eagle's wings. And eagle says, Rashi carries the baby above the enemy so that the enemy cannot strike the baby. And if we guard the covenant, we will be segula from all the nations. We will be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. And this is what you should say to the children of Israel. So Rav Soloveitchik has a very beautiful piece on Kili Kol Haaretz. I just want to see something. You could just wait 1 second. Not here. I'll just tell it to you outside. It's in a different sefer. I thought maybe it was in this sefer, but it's not. On Ki Li Kol Haaretz, Rav Soloveitchik says, okay, I'm going to close it a little. So on Ki Li Kol Haaretz, Rav Soloveitchik says, if it were up to me, says the Rav, I would propose a 14th animamin. And he says, don't get nervous. And in brackets, it says laughter. It's the Rav Rebbeinu, that the Talmidim are laughing. What's the 14th animamin that was instituted by Matan Torah, so to speak? Animamin be'amuna shalema. I believe with perfect faith. 1 second. That kol ha-Torah yecholah lehitkayim b'chol makom v'chol zman. Animamin be'amuna shalema. Now, this is not a real animamin based on the Rambam's principles of faith. This is a paraphrase of the principles of faith proposed by Rav Soloveitchik, not as a real institution of one of the animamins, but a very important hashkafic idea when it comes to yihadus. Animamin be'amuna shalema shakala Torah yecholah lehiskayim b'chol makom v'chol zman. So the Rav says, what does it mean? I believe with perfect faith that all the Torah yecholah lehiskayim can be upheld b'chol makom, in every place, v'chol zman, and in every time. Soloveitchik says, if you don't believe in this, what's the point of the other 13? In other words, what does it mean? If I only believe that Torah is relevant in some times, in some places, and then in other times, in other places, it is not shayach, it's not relevant. If I change who I am from when I am, however you are, whatever you are, if your mahalach is the right mahalach, according to your hadrach, according to your education, according to your rabbi, that's good. But the question is, when you go to a different place, do you change who you are? Now, perhaps it's not relevant for us here. It is certainly relevant for many people who behave one way in one environment and one way in another environment. The Rav says about his father and his grandfather, Rav Moshe and his grandfather, Chaim Brisker, Zecha Tzadok Kol Shevracha, Chaim Brisk. So he says, the behavior at home was not one iota different than the behavior in public. The Shmona Esrei, if they were alone, was not 1 minute longer or shorter than the Shmona Esrei than they were in Shul. The dress at home was not any different than the dress in public. Not one iota different. So it's not only, I'm not only talking about when we take a vacation, how we behave, but we're just talking about, the Rav says a person's behavior must be the same in the bedroom, the office, the supermarket, the store, the school, the street, the living room. That animami b'mushleim shakala Torah yichalal itkayim b'chol makom v'chol zman. Because what does Hashem say? Ki li kol haaretz. Is there anywhere the Ribono Shel Olam is not present? Do I really believe shivisi Hashem l'negdi sami kapitel tazayin of Tehillim that Hashem is before me always? Ki mini bal emo. He is my right hand. I will not falter. Do I really believe that the Ribono Shel Olam is before me tamid, always and consistently, or do I not believe He is before me tamid, always and consistently? Kili kol haaretz. What is kili kol haaretz? Says the Rav, if you ask me on Mars, I will tell you yes, even on Mars. Now, is anyone here going to Mars? No, but we have to understand that there is a hashkafic insight here. What did they say? Maybe we are going to Mars?
Not this week.
Maybe.
We might have to.
Maybe we're not so far. First, they have to plan excursions to the moon for the public before we get to Mars. Okay, you never know, but still. You never know. I don't know. Certainly, maybe I could say, I don't know. I shouldn't say certainly anything, but I don't think in my lifetime. Could you pass me a napkin, please? So that is Ki Li Kol Haaretz. That after Matan Torah, we have this idea. Of course, Hashem is everywhere before as well. Before Matan Torah, the Avos were mechuyev in Torah only in Eretz Yisrael. And after Matan Torah, everything changed. Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael, wherever a person is, of course we want to be in Eretz Yisrael, but wherever a person is, they have to know that that's where the Ribono Shel Olam is. And that's one of the reasons, Bamidbar is this week's parasha, it's read before Shavuos, that's one of the reasons the Torah was given in the desert. If the Torah would have been given in Eretz Yisrael, so I would have thought, then only when I am in Eretz Yisrael do I have to keep the Torah, and when I leave Eretz Yisrael, I no longer have to keep the Torah. That is absolutely not correct. Ki li kol ha'aretz, where are they? They're in the wilderness of Sinai. Bayamazah Bami Bar Sinai. They're in the desert. They're nowhere. They're in the middle of nothingness. And there, exactly there, the Torah is given to teach you that that is where the Ribono Shel Olam is. Wherever a person is, that's where the Ribono Shel Olam is. Rav Soloveitchik, actually, I'm putting together many different, this class is based heavily on the Rav in terms of this Kriya Sotara for Shavuos, but even what I quoted about the 14th Animami, when he talks about his father and his grandfather, it's from two different Shiurim, two different sources. So the Rav tells a different story of Rav Yisrael Salanter, famous story. Rav Soloveitchik tells it over. Rav Yisrael Salanter, the father of the Musar movement, is traveling in a wagon with a certain wagon driver, Jewish wagon driver, and the wagon driver pulls over the wagon to the side of the road, and he sees some bales of hay, and he takes from the hay, and he gives it to his horses. So Rav Yisrael Salanter says, "What are you doing? Someone is watching." Again, this is not just like Rav Soloveitchik says elsewhere. He's telling a story, and he says, "This is not a Hasidish or Meisar. I heard this story from my father, or heard it from his grandfather." In other words, he says, "This is a true story." It's no Rav Yisrael Salanter says someone's watching. So the wagon driver jumps up back into the wagon. He's not stealing the hay. And then he sees no one's watching. So he goes back to the field and he takes some more hay to give the horses. Rav Yisrael Salanter says someone's watching. So he comes back and he sees no one's watching. He says, "What are you doing? You're making me crazy. No one's watching." So Rav Yisrael Salanter says, "Don't you know that here's the Ribono Shel Olam? And the Ribono Shel Olam is always watching." It sounds like, you know, a cute story, but it has a very strong point. Ki li kol ha'aretz. Where is God? Everywhere I am, that is where the Ribono Shel Olam is. When I eat, if I'm all alone in my house, so that's where Hashem is. And when I drink, so that's where Hashem is. I try, I'm not saying anything to anybody else, I try not to drink from a bottle. We need her. What? I don't mean alcohol.
What's the reason?
You know, we're trying to plan our Israel trip now. It's, I understand in the scheme of life, it's like not a significant thing. But, one second, but it's not so easy. You know, you say you make an itinerary for one day, it could take an hour, we're going to go here, you have to go on Google Maps, how long is it from here to here, what time should our reservation be, then you email all the places in Israel, then because of the time change, you have to wait a day if you're lucky for them to reply, only to find out the time you want to go is booked, but they have this day available, so that switches anything you already have booked, and every day needs to be switched. It's really not so posh. I mean, I understand it's not like a problem, but we're taking our boys who have never been for the first time. The past few times my husband and I have gone, I could just walk around Yerushalayim and like eat and go to the shuk and walk the streets. I don't care, but we're taking them. We want them to see the country. I'm not taking them for 2 weeks to sit and go to restaurants only, even though we'll do that also. We are talking about the food Friday night. So I quoted the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechta Sota, Yudalad Amud Aleph, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says. So the Gemara says,
it's
what?
It's a falafel.
So the Gemara says, V'chila Achol Mipir Yahu Tzarich. I said to the kids, you think Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go for the same reason he wanted to go? V'chila Achol Mipir Yahu. So worried. I said, if you can't have fleishuk, then you return Kriya. You know how much food there is? We'll go to Greg and Mamil Ma. You know how good the melchik is? So what does the Gemara say about Moshe Rabbeinu? He needs to go sightseeing. He needs to go touring. He wants to see the mountains and the valleys. V'chila Achol Mipir Yahu Tzarich. Why do you want to go? Because all the mitzvos, Hatulios Ba'aretz, that he could not fulfill in Chutzars. Okay? Why am I telling you this? Oh, because I said I try not to drink from the bottle. So then I made a joke. So sometimes it's like nerve-wracking. So my husband said to me last night, "Do you want a drink?" And he did not mean water. It was a joke. I don't drink that. So I said, "No, I don't need that." So he says, "Maybe it'll help you relax." Because I was like, did they reply? Do we need it? Anyway, going back to Ki Li Kol Ha'aretz, we have to live with the awareness that the Ribono Shel Olam is always before me. And I'm talking to myself, and sometimes when we interact with other people, we forget, but sometimes even when we're by ourselves, we forget. That's what the Rav says about his father and his grandfather, Rav Moshe, Rav Chaim Halevi Soloveitchik of Bris, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shevracha, that they didn't behave one iota differently when they were alone or when they were with people. So that's my point. Trying not to drink from water bottles. So I don't know, we were in the house. Oh, I came in from a fast walk and the water bottle was right. And if I'm in the car, if I'm on a fast walk, and you ever see me drink from water bottle on a fast walk, I do not take a cup with me on my fast walk.
Right.
Yes. But when I'm in my house even, and I'm by myself, I really try hard not to. Because there's awareness. Who am I living for? Who am I behaving for? The Ribbono Shel Olam. So I was with one of the kids, and I didn't even realize what I did. I picked up, just come home from a fast walk, I picked up the bottle, but I was already home. I took a drink. I said, oh, I try not to do this. A person has to really be aware. An imam, I'm not saying it's Torah, I'm not saying it's halacha. A person for myself, just to have that.
But it's okay in the car to drink from a bottle.
What?
It's okay in the car.
I said in the car. I'm not saying it's not okay. I didn't say it's not okay. I'm not giving you a halachic psak. Anyway.
I don't think anybody drinks from a bottle in the house.
No. But I said I try when I'm on a fast walk or when I'm in the car, and if it's a shas al chak, and I'm sure when I'm in Ein Gedi, I will be very thankful for my water bottle. If I'm not in one of those situations, I try. Just whatever anybody tries to do, we just have to remember that I have to be a consistent person, because that's where the Ribbono Shel Olam is. And I have to be consistent in my behavior all the time, because that is where Hashem is. Wherever I am, there is no one in the world. Mala ha'aretz kevodo. So if mala ha'aretz kevodo, and I really believe that, and kili kol ha'aretz, and the Torah was given in a midbar to show me that it's applicable in all times and all places, so then that's where I have to keep Torah. Where? Everywhere. What was his name? Yisrael Goldstein, the rabbi from Chabad Poway.
Yes.
His last name Goldstein?
Oh, yeah.
So he said, I think I even quoted the article here, after the shooting, Hashem Yirachem, he said, I used to sing a song to my children when they were little. I would point with my finger. I would say, Hashem is here, and point to the right. I would point with my finger. Say, Hashem is left. You all know this. I would say, Hashem is truly everywhere, point all around. He says, that finger that I used to point where Hashem was has now been taken from me. He says, I hope it will serve as a reminder that Hashem is everywhere. The finger that he used to point, that's what he says. I actually want to go now to the end of Torah reading. So we have the Shlosha Simei Hagbala, we have the preparation, and no one's allowed to touch the mountain, and there's going to be thunder and lightning, and there's going to be a shofar, and I'm not trying to not do this justice, but we simply don't have time to talk about the whole Kriya Satara, and we have the Aseres HaDibros. I want to actually go to the end. Okay, I actually want to go to the end. V'im Mizbeach Avanim Ta'aseli. This is actually the second to last pasuk in the Torah reading for Shavuos. It's right at the end of Parachof in Shavuos. Because Parachof Al begins Mishpatim. V'im Mizbeach Avanim Ta'aseli. If you make a Mizbeach, an altar of stones for me. Lo Tivne Eshen Gazis. You shall not build them hewn. Don't cut the stones in regular English. Lo tivne eten gazi. It's parachof pasachav beis. It's the second to last pasuk in Yisrael. When you make an altar of stones, if you go to the Israel Museum, last time we were there, you can see one. And what's so interesting is when we saw, there's a sign, this is like amazing. It's from the south. It was found in the south. And excavations, and the sign says, you will note that the stones are cut and fit perfectly in violation of the biblical command in Exodus 20:22. I took a picture of it. If I would go back to that year, I could actually show it to you, because I thought it was incredible, because the Mizbeach Avanim that we saw was cut. You're not allowed to cut the stones. Ki charbecha hainaftallah. If you cut the stones, you will have waved your sword over the stones. In other words, what did they use to cut in those days? They would take a sharp implement, and then the techalaleha, you have profaned it. So in other words, it's not a kosher mizbeach anymore. So Rashi says, if you wave iron over it, then it is defiled. Why? Shamizbeach nivra laharich yamav sha'adam. A mizbeach was created, nivra, yeah, but built to lengthen the days of man, right? Like if I did a chatas or whatever karban I'm going to bring, it's meant to lengthen my life. But that sword is meant to shorten the life of man. It's not right that you should take that with shortened life and wave it over that which lengthens life. It's not appropriate to put a sword which is meant to shorten man's life onto a mizbeach which is meant to lengthen man's life. Furthermore, Acham is Bech Matul Shalom Ben Yisrael Avim Shabashamayim. The Mizbech meant to bring peace between Israel and their father in heaven. Lefichach lo yavo lav kores umechabel. What is a mechabel today? What's a mechabel? A terrorist. A mechabel today is a terrorist. You shouldn't wave over at something of kores, destruction, umechabel, and terror. Something that destroys should not be brought over something of shalom. Vahare dvarim kal v'chomer. These words teach us a kal v'chomer. How much more so? Uma avanim she'enan ro'os. These stones that do not hear, do not see, I'm sorry. Velo shamos, and don't hear. Velo medabros, and don't hear. You're so worried about the stones. You don't want to put a sword over the stone to cut the stone. Why? Because the stone is made to bring shalom between me and God. So I don't want to bring an implement of war over the stones. Furthermore, the stones are meant to lengthen life. I don't want to bring something that shortens life. But really, we learn from here, kal v'chomer, how much more so? These stones do not see, do not hear, and do not speak. Al yidei shematilo shalom, but because they bring peace, the Torah says, don't bring a sword. Hamatil shalom bin ish li ishto. How much more so? One who brings peace between man and wife. Ubein mishpacha l'mishpacha, between one family to another. Bein adam l'chaveiro, one man and his friend. Alachas kama v'kama shalot v'eu peranus. How much more so? Punishments and harm will not befall him. So if we're so concerned about the dignity and the honor and the feelings, so to speak, of the stones, and how much more so are we concerned about the, do we learn to be concerned with he who is a matil shalom, who brings peace between parties, whether it's husband and wife, or whether it's family to family, or whether it is friend to friend. So we should know that harm will not, a sword will not come across that person. I think because of what I just said, based on this Rashi, we could relate this to the first part of the Shir. I think we should relate this to the first part of the Shir. So I heard of Shai Shechter say in the Shir that when we go to the Kotel, we're taking selfies and we're littering and we're just schmoozing with our friends. It's okay, everyone could schmooze with their friends if the content is kosher. We just have to think about where we are socializing. Is this the proper place for doing this? But as holy as that makom is, it's holy because the Shekhinah is there. It's not just holy because it's a pile of walls, and I don't mean that in a derogatory fashion. It's holy because the Midrash says from the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah never moved from the Kosel HaMa'aravi. It's a Midrash b'feirush. Olam lo zaz Shekhinah mekosel ma'aravi, hinei zeh omed achar koselenu. This one stands behind our wall, pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Mashgiach min achalono, meitzis min acharikip. Hashem is watching from the window and peering from the lattices. And the Midrash says that this is a reference to the Shekhinah by the Kosel Ma'aravi. So if we recognize that before a pile of stones, there's a Shekhinah, so we should have a sense of pachad and yira and kavod for the Shekhinah that's by the stones, then how much more so when we see a person who has created B'Tselem Elohim. I'm relating this teaching at the end of Parshas Yisrael, and this is the second to last pasuk that we read on Shavuot. So how much more so when you see a person, B'Tselem Elohim nivra Adam, v'yivra Hashem Elohim esa Adam, B'Tselmo, B'Tselem Elohim bara oso, zachar nekeva bara osem, perik bereshis, perik al pasuk of Zion. So every person, whether he's a zachar or she is a nekeva, is created B'Tselem Elohim, and they are a representation of the Shekhinah. So when I see a basar v'dab, not a pile of stones, who is a representation of the Shekhinah, so I have to think, how do I behave before that person? V'yichan sham Yisrael neged ha'ar. Do I respect the person that is standing before me the same way that I respect the stones in a wall? If both represent the Shekhinah, then I have to ask myself, alachas kama v'kama, harei dvarim kam v'chomer. Behold, this is a kal v'chomer. If that is the awe that I show for a wall of stones, what should my awe be for a person who represents the Melech Malchei Melechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a good question that we all have to ask ourselves. Going back to one of my favorite words from the Rav, but that's hard to say that. Why is that hard to say that?
They're all your favorite.
They really are.
But one is really your favorite.
They're all my favorite. Okay. So this is really what?
It's the favorite of the week.
No, not even a favorite of the class. I love Animamin, the 14th Animamin on Mars, even on Mars. and how much we learn from Rav Chaim Brisker and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who didn't change one iota in private and in public. What else did I quote from him today? More, I can't remember. Okay, but this is really one of my favorites. It's on this pasuk. It's the second last pasuk of the Torah reading of Shavuos, and it's the second last pasuk in Parshas Yisro. I translated it already. We're talking about this idea that you can't use a sword over the stones to defile the stones. I mentioned if you have an opportunity to be in the Israel Museum in Jerusalem, you could see one that was defiled. So the Rav says, unbelievable. So he quotes this pasuk. You shouldn't build a mizbeach from cut out smooth stones. You should build it from unsmooth stones, uneven sizes. Don't cut them. It's a very fascinating love. It's a very fascinating prohibition, says the Rav. What is the seichel? Now it's a love. So it is what it is. But sometimes when it comes to the mitzvahs, we try to give ta'amei ha-mitzvahs. It doesn't mean we understand the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chas V'Shalom. It means if he says we do, whether we understand or we don't understand, but we try and derive a hashkafic lesson from this statement in the Torah. What is the hashkafic lesson that we can derive from this mitzvah? He says, it's very fascinating love. What is the seichel? Why did the Torah say the mizbeach can't be built from cut up stones? We have to take the stones as they come. It might not be nice. When I teach this, I say, think of clicks. If you have grandchildren who play with clicks, or even better, magnet tiles or Lego, they're smooth. So if you build a tower with magnet tiles, it's going to be smooth. It's not going to be jagged. It will be much nicer to cut the stones. Everything would fit together much better. It would be like Lego. It would be like magnet tiles. It will all fit. So the Rav says, yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, I think it kind of makes sense, though, because I think that it means that anybody can give a mizbeach. Anybody, we're all different, yet we all fit together. If it was made out of stone that was smooth, it would mean that everybody had to be the same.
Oh, okay.
And this is a very interesting way that Hashem is saying we all count and we're all important, and I made you all in my image, and that you're all zoiche to bring a karban, no matter what you did, no matter who you are, and that it should be accepted by the klal.
Okay, very nice. That relates back to Vayichan Shamiso Negar Hahar. Okay, the Rav says something else, but that's very nice. So the Rav says, ready? I think the reason is simple. The Mizbeach is a symbol of kapara. We already saw in Rashi, it is to be ma'arich yamav. It's to lengthen your days and you gain kapara. How exactly works, why the Ribbono Shel Olam accepts a karban, that's what Hashem says. Kapara means atonement. Chazal say, bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, mizbeach mechaper, when the beis hamikdash stood, which we don't have anymore, so we don't even have mizbeach, we don't have karbanos. It's a concept that's hard for us to relate to, but we're going to bring down a very relatable teaching. Even though we don't have mizbeach, and even though we don't have karbanos, the mizbeach brings atonement. It's a symbol of kapara. It's a sign of teshuvah. The mizbeach is a symbol of vidui. The Ramban writes this. The Ramban to Vayikra Parak Aleph Pasuk Tes. When he talks about karbanos, the Ramban writes that when a person brings a karban, he must be so mechiyadav ala karban. He has to lean his head on the karban. He has to say a vidui. It's not just that you're bringing, I don't know, a cow or a turtle dove or flour if you can't afford anything. You have to understand that what the atonement is, I sin. The Ramban writes this, that if not for the chesed of Hashem, you can look up the Ramban, Vayikra Parak Aleph Pasuk Tes, not for the chaser of Hashem, it would be my blood. It would be my innards being burned. Though the mizbeach is a symbol of kapara and teshuvah and vidui. I have to confess my sins. They brought a lot of karbanos, but the highest, holiest karbanos, says the Rav, was the chatas and the asham. Chatas is for sin and asham is for guilt. Karbanos that comes for sin. Now please don't ask me, I say this every year by Vayirka, don't ask me any halachos of karbanos. Be amar, I have learned, I cannot tell you anything. If somebody was makriv a karban on the mizbeach, he had to be mitvadeh, misvada. You have to say vidui. Okay. The vidui doesn't just say chatasi. It's not enough to just say a word. What does a person have to feel?
Guilty.
Remorse. Guilt. I really did something wrong. I want to change. I want to be better. The Jewish vidui says a person realizes he sinned. He failed. He's at fault. Because chatasi in Hebrew doesn't mean I sinned. Chatasi means I failed.
Missed the mark.
I'm going to repeat that sentence. Rav Soloveitchik says, Chatasi in Hebrew doesn't mean I sinned. Chatasi means I failed. And it doesn't mean he necessarily failed in one action. Maybe his entire life is a failure. Now, there's always a way back to Hashem. A person should never despair. That I taught last week in SKA, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Yud Zayin Amud Alpha, about Rabbi Elazar ben Durdia. There's always a way back to Ribono Shel Olam. He was a person who sinned with every single zona in the world. He went across the river to come to this famous zona. He took a purse full of dinar golden coins to come to this zona. He went to everybody. And upon his death, he became Rabbi Elazar ben Durdia. And Rabbi says, it's not enough that he's accepted to Olam Haba, but they're calling him Rebbe. A person can always come back to Hashem. Sometimes a person is so full of hate that their life is a failure. It's possible. One second. So we have to go back to our question. Why? When you have this Mizbeach Avanim, Lo Tivne Esen Gazis. Can you cut the stones? It would be much nicer. Make it from Lego. Make it from perfect stones that are equally, I don't know, equidistant on all sides. Smooth them out. Take your sword and wave it over. In other words, take a cutting implement, a tool for hewing stones. Can you hear them? When a person says vidui, says the Rav, which is what's represented in the Mizbeach, a person cannot rationalize himself. He cannot say chatasi, but... You know, Ribono Shel Olam, it's hard. Da'agasa parnasa, I have tsaros, I have a yetzahara, I'm so weak, memela, I sinned. When a person really comes to repent, what does he have to say? I was wrong. I want to be better. We can't look for mitigating and extenuating circumstances. If a Jew wants to be melamed zchus upon himself when he's saying vidui, you understand? He's coming. It's a half-hearted confession. What's he saying? I know I sinned, but I had to speak Lashon Hara. No, you didn't have to speak Lashon Hara. No, you did not have to speak Lashon Hara. You were overcome by your Yetzer. You did not. The Torah does not say, those say they chachil b'mecha. But if it's so juicy, and if you must know, and it's the meal of winkers like Rashi and Targum Lunkah says, and if you can't control, that's not what the Torah says. The Rav says, we can't look for mitigating and extenuating circumstances. This we cannot do. If a Jew wants to be melamed zchus upon himself, it means he's giving, you should, hey, veidanis kol adam makav zchus. Who do I have to give the benefit of the doubt to? Others. My husband heard Rav Heschel Shachter say, Shlita, Rav Heschel Shachter says, melamed zchus, hey, veidanis kol adam makav zchus, is a bidyevet. Lechatchila, you shouldn't be judging anybody. It means once you're judging, give them the benefit of the doubt. Rav Heschel Shachter says, you shouldn't be shlita, you shouldn't be judging. We have a tremendous, tremendous chus. Tremendous, tremendous chus. It'll be the fourth year that we're zocha to spend Shavuos on the same place as him. My husband enjoys very much going to his shiurim. It's a hodul Hashem kitov. It's a tremendous chus. So he says, that's a b'dievet. It means a worst case scenario. You're already judging, give him the benefit of the doubt. But who am I to judge somebody else in the first place? I shouldn't be judging anyone else. When it comes to myself, however, if I don't do an honest assessment of myself, I will never be a better person. If I don't honestly assess my failings, I'm not talking about the neighbor. It's so easy. The Gemara says, "Ein adam roach ov la'atzmo." It's so easy to judge somebody else. But myself, all of a sudden, I have 100 reasons why. When it comes to the next guy, I'm so quick to say, she's dressed inappropriately. She speaks so much Lashon Hara. He's dishonest in business. His Shmona Esrei was so far. What about me? I'm so worried about somebody else. What about me? When I come to the Mizbeach, which represents teshuva, closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam, kapara, this is not the time to give myself 100 reasons of why I had to talk Lashon Hara. We can't look for mitigating, extenuating circumstances. If a Jew already wants to be melamed zchus on himself when he's saying vidui, the vidui is not a vidui. It's a rationalization. And that's worthless. Vidui must be an accusation. What do we say when we go like this? What are we saying? I'm wrong. I sinned. I failed. But if I stand there with the whole list of al-chait, zilzu holim memorim, so I made fun of the Gadol Dor, chas v'sham, but I didn't really mean it. I really had to. So what am I doing? I'm being melamed zchus. It is an accusation. A person has to have great strength to accuse himself. And this is one of the greatest challenges. Rabbi Akiva Willig, the Shabbos, our Rav, Beis Medrash Rumyar, gave a very important Shabbos drasha. He related it to the fact that in the parasha, in Bechukosai, in the klaus, it says that our mikdashechem will be destroyed. Our holy places will be destroyed. And he used that as a springboard to talk about kavod for the mikdash, the not base of mikdash, about mikdash our base mikdash ma'at, our base knesses, and our base medrash. And he said, listen to what he said. He said his brother, I don't know which brother he referenced, not many children who have gone to chinuch. The oldest one is married to Yochaved Machlis. So he says his brother, and it was either Beit Shemesh or Amat Beit Shemesh, forgive me, I don't remember, noticed something. He used to come to shul, and during Chazaras HaShatz, everyone was talking. Now he comes to shul, I'm not talking about the Shabbos, and during Chazaras HaShatz, it's still on Shabbos, everyone's talking. But now he comes to shul, and during Chazaras HaShatz, everyone's quiet. Why is everyone quiet during the week? Why do you think? Everyone's on their phones. Everyone's checking the news, and everyone's on Facebook, and everybody has to know last night's scores, and what are the stocks, and I have to check my emails. He used the psukim in the klalos to describe the desecration and destruction of our mekomos hakadoshim to discuss this problem. But one of the things he said is, a person has to have strength. He said, and I mean real strength. And maybe people could leave their phones at home. This is what he said. He used that word. So it takes a tremendous koch with Aryeh to her day. So if a person wants to be Mulam, it's Chazar Soshatz, and I'm really up to Modim Dirabanan. And Abu Dharan teaches that for Modim, there can be no Shaliach. I have to get up myself and say Modim Dirabanan. That's the only part of Chazar Soshatz that the Tzibur has to be involved in, because Abu Dharan teaches that for thank you, you cannot have a Shaliach. But it was an absolute emergency. What was the emergency? Rabbi Willig, this is what he spoke about. He spoke about two things: talking during Chazaras HaShatz, which is a tremendous sin, and also using our phones during tefillah. Therefore, going back to the Rav, that clock is slow, by the way. The satellite time is 11:29. I mean fast. Therefore, the Mizbeach, which is the symbol of Vidui and Kapara, must be built Avanim Shleimos, exactly how they were dug out of the ground. Don't cut them. No tools. Don't cut the stones. It shouldn't be too smooth, because the Mizbeach is a symbol of Vidui. And when one comes with Vidui, with Achatas, before the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't come smooth out. Present yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam no different than you really are. If there's anyone who we could present ourselves with honesty, it goes back to Kili Kol Arts. I have to be the exact same person where I am in the house that I am in the street. So if I have taken upon myself, I'm not telling you what to do, and this is not a halacha, b'li neder, not to drink from a water bottle, then I can't drink from a water bottle all through my home, because I have to be the same person in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lo tivneh esan gozis. Don't build them as bare from smooth out stones. Leave the stones natural as they were cut. They weren't so nice. They could have been cut, worked on with all types of implements. It could have been very smooth. The Mizbeach that you built might have been a lot nicer. But what was done to the Mizbeach, a person tries to do to himself. And then the entire Indian of Mizbeach will be lost if we're malamed zchus upon yourself. It's not just to bring an animal. It's not just to bring some flour. And I know, bless you, we don't have the idea of Mizbeach anymore. But this is a shkavik idea we can certainly relate to. When I come to, I'm close to Hashem, when I come to be Makabel Torah once again upon myself, this Shavuos, when I stand at the mountain and I say, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Nasav Nishma, it's actually Parshas Mishpatim 24/7. So when I say that, I have to really be who I am. The Mizbeach is a mirror of a person. A person sinned. They became tamai. They have to see their reflection. That's why you need to bring a korban. If you use a sword, it's profane. A sword is an instrument used to smooth things out. And when you come to the Mizbeach, don't smooth yourself out before the Ribbono Shel Olam. A Jew must stand before the world and God pasha, without chochmas. Just stand there with your blemishes. Don't smooth your karban out. Don't smooth the mizbeach out. Don't rationalize yourself. This is a Jewish outlook. Okay? So, Be'ezros Hashem, we should be zocha to a very meaningful Shavuos. And I hope when you come to Torah Leading, we spoke at the beginning, we spoke right at the end, we'll have some.